Welcome to Drone Law Pro Radio. Visit dronelaw.pro, where Part 107 pilots become Part 107 professionals. Here's your host, drone attorney Enrico Schaefer.
Welcome to Drone Law Pro Radio. Today, we have special guest Alan Perlman. Alan has been around for a long time in the Part 107 and even back in the Section 333 space. He runs UAV Coach at uavcoach.com. Alan's got a very long background in the industry, and we see him at conferences. We see him on the web. We talk to many of the people who have gone through his various programs. And today, what we're going to be talking about is something that we're really interested in, because the big thing that everyone seems to be talking about in the industry, the Part 107 commercial flight operations segment, is the movement towards, you know, from getting your Part 107 to buying a drone. And now we're in this market phase of what is the skill set that is being offered by the Part 107 pilot? What is the quality of the products and services that are being offered to the customers in the market? Because what we know is that initially customers really didn't know enough to make an informed decision, that they really just saw price. We're now starting to see this shift from customers who know nothing to customers who know enough or have been burned enough to start understanding that quality is really important, and that if they're going to pay a little bit of money and get very little value, that that's really not where the game is going to be won. That the services, the photos, the videos that they're purchasing, that quality is going to be the second very important thing beyond price, and that you do get what you pay for. So let's just jump right in with Alan Perlman, UAV coach. How are you doing today, Alan?
I am fantastic. It's Friday. It's good to talk to you, Enrico. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you. You've been on the program before. We've worked together before on various things, and so we know each other well. And the reason I wanted to have you on the show today is because you really have been moving towards this next level of service for your really extensive pilot community. And it's in the flight training area. And before we get into the flight training services that UAV Coach is now offering, just tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, the history of UAV Coach and what your business model has been and how long you've been around.
Yeah, so it's funny, in the intro, you said that I've been around for a long time, and I feel like in other industries, you know, 15, 20, 30 years is considered a long time. The drone industry, 4 years is considered a long time. So I got involved with small and mini aerial systems back in 2014 when I crashed a DJI Phantom 1 into a parked car in the middle of New York City. And it was a horrible maiden flight, just trying to interpret the user manual. It took me 45 minutes to figure out how to calibrate the compass and turn this new consumer device on. I thought I would just plug it into the wall and know what to, you know, take it out 20 minutes later after the battery charged a little bit and have a great flight. So that experience really shook me up quite a bit. I ended up researching a lot about these systems and found very little information online. You know, there are a lot of RC forums that have been around for a long time, so I would find answers to my questions, but on page 36 of 943 forum threads on a website that hadn't been updated in many years. So I was struggling to explore my newfound interest in drones at the time. I was not thinking commercially. You know, the 333 exemption process that you mentioned, the sort of legacy process for operating commercially as a U.S. drone pilot, was just getting started. I can't remember the exact date when that first batch of five or six, you know, media production companies got certified was, but I think it was sometime in 2014.
Yeah.
So we got into this industry very slow. We started a blog. It was a nights and weekends side project for a while. I went to the InterDrone conference in Las Vegas. My mind was blown. I came back home, talked to my wife, decided that I needed to leave my job and focus on the drone industry full time. So it's been a long road, but you know, we've done a lot of product reviews, just a lot of one-on-one conversations with folks on our email list, and realized that the one pressing need, the resounding question that we kept getting asked over and over and over again was, how do I learn how to fly? How can I get trained? So that's the angle that we took. You know, our mission as a company is to push the drone industry forward. And the more responsible pilots there are out there, the more professional pilots there are out there, it helps everybody. And I know I'm going to borrow a phrase that you use quite a bit, a rising tide lifts all ships. We need to see people in this industry succeeding. And because the industry is so new, there's just a huge opportunity for, you know, high quality information, education, and training. From flight training to just understanding what the opportunities are in the industry, you know, getting certified with the FAA and going through that process, there is no shortage of opportunities to train and to work on yourself if you're trying to make it in this industry.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about the kind of the state of the industry, which is a really important issue for everyone who's trying to make a living doing this, you know, there's only certain things that are even possible at each point along the way for most of these Part 107 pilots. And so, yes, there are those that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. They're full-time businesses. They're out there really making it happen, but that's not where the bulk of the market is. The bulk of the market is newcomers who are getting into the space and people who've been around for a couple of years who are trying to turn their 1 to 2 flights a week or even 1 to 2 flights a month into something more. So given where this industry is today, Alan, why do you think all of a sudden we're starting to see flight skills as becoming more important and more people starting to pay attention to, you know what? I need to become a better pilot. I need to understand the software better. I need to be able to deliver more quality to my customers.
Yeah, great question. So I'd say sort of two responses here. The first is just the reality of being a newcomer with this flying lawnmower that you're trying to bring up to the sky, right? And I'm assuming that the new pilot is flying a multi-rotor instead of a fixed wing aircraft. But the general story is this, you know, somebody calls us and says, hey, I just bought this brand new drone, but it's been sitting in my closet for the last 2 months because I took it out to fly it and I had a really shaky experience. You know, when I tried to land it, it tipped over and one of the propellers broke, the other one flew off, you know, 10 feet to the left, or I crashed it up into some branches of a tree. I heard that twice last week from 2 different folks. And These companies, they make it seem so easy to pick up a drone and fly, right? And you can imagine somebody watching a few videos on YouTube and then going to, you know, DJI.com, purchasing an aircraft and thinking that it's only going to be a few short steps to get to that point. And then they're, you know, like most of us with consumer electronics, we skip reading the user manual, right? We power up the device, try and get that battery charge as soon as possible and take it for a spin. Now with these systems, it's a little more complex than operating a remote control car or a point and shoot camera. You know, you are bringing a flying lawnmower up into the sky. There's a very real sense of danger when you hear the whir of those carbon fiber blades. And when you understand that there are actual federal regulations in place and sometimes local regulations in place that govern the types of flights that you're doing, and all of a sudden you're powering up some software and realize, okay, well, I can take off and land, but I didn't realize that I was locked into 15 satellites and relying on a GPS signal for a smooth flight. And there's all these intelligent flight modes, and it ends up being a lot more complex, I think, than the average person thinks when they first pilot one of these systems. So that's where we sense a lot of opportunity for training, is just helping people get over that initial knowledge hump. And as far as differentiating yourself, it's kind of that second reason, that second bucket. You know, a lot of folks who have been flying for a little bit, I think the easy thing to do is to kind of hang out at the bottom part of the industry, right? The Craigslist crowd, the thumbtack.com opportunities, I don't want to lump DroneBase and some of these other companies there, but just kind of these one-off, very basic flights where you're making $50 here or $100 there. That business is always going to be there, but you're always going to be competing with that high school student who has a drone and, you know, isn't necessarily trying to build an aerial service business, is going to undercut you on price. And that's true in most service-based businesses. So if you're really interested in generating, you know, generating income, whether it's on a supplemental basis, you know, you are okay flying those one or two projects per month and making an extra 10, 20 grand a year, or you are looking to build a proper aerial service business and be in this industry for the next 5, 10, 15 years, you've got to start swimming upstream. And what I mean by that is knowledge is power. So the more you understand the software, not just the DJI Go 4 app, but platforms like Drone Deploy and Pix4D and Litchi, and the more you understand specific industries where you might want to be getting business, you know, the easier time you're going to have. And it's not a simple thing to do to say, learn the insurance adjustment industry or learn how a construction site manager thinks. But when you're in these conversations talking about ROI and how you as a drone pilot can help and why this company might not necessarily want to build its own internal aviation department and why it might be easier and safer for them and more cost effective for them to hire out services to you, you know, a third party vendor, being able to navigate that conversation takes, you know, a certain type of education. Like, you really have to understand this stuff. So that's kind of how we think about training and education. You know, with flight training, yes, you have to understand what to do with your thumbs. You have to learn the basics of the software, you know, good flight operations management, what to do before the flight, during the flight, after the flight, you know, proper logging, maintenance of your aircraft, things like that. But you also need to be thinking about industry specific education and really kind of look inward and figure out what your own goals are. Are they financial goals? Are they, hey, I just want to get outside and fly a couple times a month and it'd be great to get paid doing so? That's a much, much different approach, I think, if you're looking to get training than somebody who wants to leave their full-time job and become a full-on drone pilot.
Yeah, it's really amazing that to be part of an industry that is evolving, that really, you know, starts nowhere and continues each year to grow and to become the next thing, the next iteration. You know, I always say that, you know, we aren't even at the point of true customer demand, because most drone pilots are out there convincing customers or prospects to hire them. Well, that's not market demand. Market demand occurs when the phone's ringing and the contact forms are being filled out on your website and they're coming to you. Customers don't understand and don't know and aren't familiar enough with commercial operations to get to that point where you really have this true market demand for services. One of the triggers that we've seen is that once a company or a prospective customer's competitors start incorporating drones, that could be a very powerful trigger to, you know what, we need to start doing this. And then you start to, you know, once two competitors are doing it, then the next 10 competitors want to start incorporating drone services. Once one real estate agent is incorporating drone photos and videos into their marketing technique, then, you know, really they need to start doing that in order to get, you know, listings. So you're starting to see some of that happen. I've always said that in order to get the right pricing, you know, the industry, the Part 107 pilots really need to mature to the point where they are acting, thinking, talking like professionals, that yes, they are seen by customers as professionals. And so flight training really is a key part of that. I mean, beyond just simply complying with the regulations. So let's just talk a little bit specifically now about what your flight training at UAV Coach, how the nuts and bolts of it work. What kind of classes are you offering? What should a pilot expect if they were to get flight training through UAV Coach?
Sure. And just real quick to comment on your point about market demand. It's really important to understand the sales process. You know, if you're out there trying to get business just because you have a really high quality system. You might have a great website. You know, maybe you have a friend or a cousin or a nephew who's designed you a beautiful website. You've got a few pictures up on there. Maybe you have your 107 certification. But actually getting out there and getting business, you're so spot on about the demand where people don't know what they don't know. So you might think to yourself, okay, well, my drone can save somebody time and money. And it might be straightforward to kind of get that initial hook, that initial conversation going, because drones are sexy and people want to talk about drones. But getting to that final sale where you can really understand return on investment and put together a solid pitch, it's a very consultative sales process. There's very little kind of transactional sales happening in this industry right now. So it's a mindset shift. You know, you're not out there selling, you know, just photos or just videos. You know, you can imagine a wedding photographer where it's like, we sell wedding photos, here are our three packages, this is what we do, versus kind of the super high-end part of that market where you're kind of consulting with the client ahead of time, really talking about the experience and the feelings you want to get and sort of collaborating. That's where the drone industry is at right now, is that the sales process is very collaborative and consultative. So I wanted to comment on that because I thought you were so spot on. As far as training, so over the last 4 years, we've helped over 13,000 drone pilots get into the industry. Now, most of those folks have gone through our online Part 107 test prep training, and I'm happy to talk more about that process if you think that would be helpful. But with the flight training, this is something that came from our students. So we like to follow our students' questions and student demand, and what we found is that after about a year of offering our Part 107 test prep course, we would get phone calls and emails from students saying, hey, so I'm certified. How do I actually learn how to fly the system that I just bought? Or what system should I buy? And can you help me learn how to fly it? And we were having those conversations, you know, once or twice a week for many, many months. So it made sense for us as a company to start thinking about, okay, well, how can we keep adding value in the form of actual in-person flight training? And candidly, that model always intimidated me a little bit. I didn't think it would be an easy thing to do, to not only recruit, but to manage a team of really high quality instructors and to build out a booking process and figure out, it's just a whole layer of complexity that we really wanted to be deliberate about. So it took us many, 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 many months of talking and negotiating and trying to figure out what model made sense. And what ended up being super helpful, Enrico, was just talking with our students. It sounds kind of basic, but just picking up the phone, if somebody says, hey, do you offer training? You know, hopping on the phone with that person and saying, hey, John, what kind of training are you looking for? How much are you willing to pay? Right. What research have you done out there? What training is available out there? Why are you interested in that? Or why are you not interested in that? If we were to build training, what would you want it to look like? So we had those conversations for a while and settled on a really fun framework of training that is very geared toward folks with little to no flight experience. Now, we do see students with flight experience get value from our training courses. I can talk more about that. But when you look at the landscape of training options out there for actually learning how to fly, a lot of them aren't as approachable as they could be, meaning they're too expensive or they're only in a certain number of cities. And you have to travel to that city and the opportunity cost of, you know, taking a day off work and going to that city and, you know, taking a day or two of training. You might not get that much time on the sticks. So you could pay for an 8-hour training course and 90% of that course is just PowerPoint slides. And you're sitting inside, you know, drinking some coffee and maybe having a snack, and you go outside and fly 5-10 minutes in an 8-hour day. That was the feedback that we were getting from a lot of folks. So we wanted to focus on getting up in the air as soon as possible. A lot of that is just based on my own experiences learning. I'm not a theoretical person. I need to get out there and practice and kind of stumble a few times. So we built these 90-minute one-on-one training classes where we work with instructors and we onboard those instructors. We have training guidelines and standards for them. And they meet with our students one-on-one at a park, at an athletic facility. Sometimes they're really good designated training sites, depending on what city the instructors are in. And it's a professional training, but it's also very casual, where we use this 90 minutes and we personalize it as much as possible to the student. So we have a framework in place. If the student's never flown before, you know, we go through what to do before, during, and after the flight, and we've got a wide variety of, you know, skill acquisitions that we're looking for the student to gain in that 90-minute period. And then the instructors kind of adjust based on how the students are doing. If the students have flown a few times before and they're able to do the basic, you know, 10-foot by 10-foot boxes and circles, you know, down and backs, and feel good with kind of basic multi-rotor orientation, then that 90 minutes is going to be spent on the software and getting into the intelligent flight modes and really understanding, okay, why would you want to use tripod mode? Not only how do you use point of interest mode, but why would you want to use point of interest mode? What are the kind of shots that you're trying to get? So when we talk to our students and our instructors after the class, it ends up being a really fun experience where the students are able to ask questions about regulations in airspace, but also get some hands-on flight time. And they're not in a classroom with 8 other people or 10 other people. And they're able to get this kind of personalized experience. And it doesn't cost, you know, $700, $800, $900 to do. They're just meeting one of our instructors for an hour and a half at a field. So it's a lot more approachable. So it's a flexible approach for our students where we can sync up one of your local flight instructors with you and assess your needs. And while many of our students are coming from the same place, people are using drones to do a lot of different things. So if we know that you're interested in real estate, or you're an insurance adjuster, or, you know, your boss asked you to buy a drone and has given you a budget, but you're not sure which drone to buy, maybe we can ask our instructor to bring 2 or 3 different models to the training. You know, we're growing with our students, so we're really responding to you know, how our students are approaching these programs. But it's been really fun. It's been a good experiment for us. We're in 20 states right now. Ideally, we've got, you know, instructors in all 50 states. But at the same time, we don't want to open up the opportunity to train with us, like, you know, like signing up for Uber or Lyft as a driver. Granted, Uber and Lyft, they do have background checks and certain criteria that you have to hit, but they're not doing 2 or 3 rounds of interviews and knowledge checks. You know, we're really trying to be careful about the quality of the instructors that we bring on. And I'm just so humbled and amazed by the folks that are training with us right now. They're really fun to chat with. They're doing some really interesting things across a wide variety of industries. And we always ask them to bring their own color and their own experiences to each training class. So that's kind of where the program is at right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, there is the flight skills are really important, getting the right shot and being able to, you know, to understand things better in terms of how these drones function and all the different ways you can make them function better. And you mentioned a little bit earlier the software component, which, you know, I represent software companies since 1992, and I am still overwhelmed by not only the app, but as the apps get upgraded, trying to keep up with the software piece of the puzzle. And yeah, I can use the basic functions of it, but if I'm a Part 107 pilot and I really want to get to the next level, one of the opportunities for me is to better understand the software, the way the DJI software works. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what you're hearing from your pilots on the software side and what kind of training you're doing for those pilots in order to get them up the ladder on software.
Yeah, software is everything. And just a fun anecdote to kind of set some context for why I think software is really important. Well, a couple of things. I mean, number one, I was talking with a manned aircraft pilot who had a 30-year career, you know, flying commercial for Delta. And, you know, he reminded me that back in World War I, if you were a pilot, you were the pilot, you were the mechanic, like you were doing proper stick and rudder flying. You knew everything about your aircraft front to back. Whereas if you're a pilot today, you also know everything about your aircraft, but you're more of a systems engineer. It's a completely different type of role. And that's where this industry is heading. You know, back when I crashed my DJI Phantom 1 back in 2014, the type of intelligence that DJI had built into the app was nowhere near what it's at today. And I feel like every 5 or 6 months, we're hearing about a new type of intelligent flight mode or new app on the market. So because industry is so new, those who really appreciate and respect and totally dive in head first into the software are the folks who are going to be much stronger, safer pilots. And I mean, it starts with the DJI Go 4 app. You know, the reality of the industry is that DJI has, 70, 80% market share or whatever it is. Most folks out there are flying DJI systems. There's other software out there, but if you are looking for kind of a foundational understanding of what return to home modes look like and how to program those and some of the intelligent flight modes and telemetry data that you're getting, DJI is a really good place to start. So we build our classes around flight proficiency training under the context of DJI Go 4 app. So we have all of our instructors trained in DJI equipment. They run through the nooks and crannies of the app. I mean, there are very basic buttons in there, right? Auto take off and auto land. And then you can go in there and pre-program battery notifications and max altitudes for return to home. And there's certain things that you want to touch and there's certain things that you might not necessarily want to touch, but want to know where it is. So like any software, there's a learning curve. My wife reminded me that when she was new to Wall Street, out of college, going onto Wall Street as a banker, her and a lot of her cohorts took this class called Beat the Street, which is basically Excel programming for super advanced folks who are going to go into the finance world. And I thought that was so interesting. And it was the kind of thing where if you didn't take that class with the rest of your folks, you're going to be left in the dust those first few weeks on the job. So it's the same. It's, you really, really have to master the software. And we try to drive that point home with our students.
Yeah, it's... So, as I think that you're having these conversations with pilots and I'm having these conversations with pilots, some of the things that get oft repeated are that you want to be in a position to take advantage of market growth as it occurs, but also when we get to that tipping point where the market growth may start to accelerate. And you have to have your skills already in place if you want to actually take advantage of that tipping point. If you're planning on waiting for things to really start to take off, as it were, and then you're going to go get, proficient and get specialized and become more of an expert, you could do that, but in many ways, you'll be late to the game. Folks who have got their proficiency, their expertise all lined up are in a much stronger position. Alan, one of the things, you've got Drone Pilot Ground School, which is the Part 107 training for pilots. You've got a great newsletter that you can subscribe to on your website, which is uavcoach.com. Now you've got this drone pilot training that you're offering to your pilot community, which I think you've got something like 50,000 pilots on your email list. So that's a pretty substantial list. But let's face it, there's other training facilities out there. There's YouTube videos. There's self-practice. There's a lot of different options for Part 107 pilots in order to become proficient at both the software and the flight training and other folks that are actually offering flight training. What is your market differentiator? What is it that you feel as the owner of UAV Coach that sets you apart?
Yeah. Well, let me take off my sales hat for a bit. So the reality is that there's a lot of different ways. If we just focus on like the FAA certification process and prepping for that test, there are 101 ways to prep for that test. The FAA has its own study guide that's about 80 or 90 pages. It's not formatted extremely well. They're missing a handful of things. But if you're self-motivated and have no problem reading through that 90-page packet once you print it out, that's a great way to study, straight from the source, right? Straight from the FAA. There are YouTube videos. There are, $5 apps that you can buy that just, you run through practice questions. We're definitely not a good fit for everybody. So we're in that online course part of the industry. And we're all taking the same approach. When I say we're all, you know, the other online courses out there, Remote Pilot 101, UAV Ground School, Dart Drones, Drone Launch Academy, there's a handful of really high quality programs that are taking dense materials and difficult concepts, particularly when it comes to airspace. And we're all doing our best to distill that information down into, you know, bite-sized digestible chunks where we make it really easy for our students to get through that material. And we're all following, you know, online learning best practices. Where I think we stand out, I think that we have a really solid attention to detail. We're constantly in the course making small tweaks here or there, adding new practice questions. I added 30 new practice questions a few weeks ago, just based on student feedback we've been getting over the last several months. And the regulations are constantly, I don't want to say changing at this point. They're not moving as fast as they have been, but there are quirks, there are nuances, and there are things that come up and new examples that are being set where we can bring that right into the course. So we're reproducing videos and rejiggering lessons, and we're not a one and done program. We email our students out every single week, like you mentioned, our newsletter. Mm-hmm. We have a separate newsletter that goes out to students. So anytime we make a change to the course or there's something part 107 specific, we highlight that for our students. We've got a great track record. You know, we've helped over 13,000 people go through this process. If you look at the reviews on our site, I think the number one sort of high five that we get from students just has to do with our customer support. We've got Mike McGirt, who worked in the Air Force for 25 years and just an awesome drone pilot, really nice dude. And he spends half of his week just working with Drone Pilot Ground School students. So we're not a company where you send an email and don't hear back for a week or two, or call and don't get a voice message response. You know, we try to get back to everybody pretty quickly and end up doing a lot of consulting with students beyond just 107 test prep. You know, if we're talking with somebody on the phone, we may discuss software and hardware and business and marketing strategies. And it's tough to draw that line sometimes, but if students start asking questions, we're happy to help. So it's been fun. You know, we're not a great fit for everybody. I'll be the first to admit that. We're a little higher priced than some of the other online course options. We have some bonus lessons in there that are super helpful for students who are new to the industry, things like pricing and packaging and flight operations management, like things that the FAA doesn't, you know, they're not going to test you on, but we think that if you're operating under 107, you should understand. We've got a great interview that we did with you, about a year ago that still stands the test of time about trademarks and licensing and kind of the implications of operating legally under the regulations, which is a fan favorite amongst our students. And we're always looking to add more value to the course. So kind of a long-winded response, but hopefully that helps.
Awesome. Well, no, that's great. And I think that there's a lot of folks out there who just don't know enough about the community and who who the long-term players are, who's there to make a buck and who's there to support the community, who's in it for the short term, who's in it for the long term. And one of the things I've always liked about UAV Coach is you seem to have such a great relationship with the people who come through your Part 107 test prep program, that you continue to support them throughout the business growth processes. They look to go from, you know, learning to fly to getting their Part 107 certification to building a real world business that generates not only revenue, but generates profits and is more than part time.
Yep.
What kind of training do you see offering in the future at UAV Coach? Where do you think all this training is going moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, our training is very basic right now, meaning we're focused on basic flight operations, get off the ground safely, you know, understand what it means to operate under the 107 regulations, make sure we get all your questions answered about the basic foundational elements here, right? Airspace regulations, what happens when you lose your GPS signal, just kind of basic safety emergency procedures. Once that foundation is established, and we're already starting to get some inquiries for kind of next level training. So that could be industry specific. It could be equipment specific. We don't do any kind of fixed wing training right now. I could see us doing something like that down the road. Beyond visual line of sight training, that's a very different type of equipment expectations and, you know, operating parameters that you're following, performance-based standards that you have to meet from the FAA. So I could see us doing some training like that. Really just continuing to listen to the student. We're getting a lot of questions about mapping and modeling. So how to use Drone Deploy, how to use Pix4D. And I could see us, developing a curriculum around that. We've had a lot of interest from police and fire departments. You know, they're using, you know, Mavics and Phantoms and Inspires to do some basic work, but they also have a lot of specialized missions that they would be flying. Search and rescue is a great example. You know, operating a thermal camera, right. That's a whole different type of training. So there's no shortage of things for us to work on. It's just a matter of deploying it the right way. Sometimes I feel like we're moving molasses slow as a company, but I don't want to get to a point where a student takes one of our courses and doesn't get value from it. So we're sort of trading that speed. For quality and just trying to move with the industry, but not too fast, and grow with our students, grow with our industry partners. So yeah, I think, toward the end of this year, we're talking toward the end of 2018, over the next few months, I'm very much focused on operationalizing flight training, hopefully bringing on some more instructors. And then 2019, we'll be looking to hopefully roll out some new curriculum.
So two questions, Alan. One, if I am a competent, skilled drone pilot, and I want to potentially be considered to be one of your instructors, how do I do that? And the second question is, if I want to take one of your training classes, where's the best way to make that happen?
Sure. We are always looking for high quality instructors. And even if you're not actively training with us, if you have something to share, we're always looking to expose folks in the industry who are doing really good work. We have, let me just pull up the URL real quick to make sure I don't botch it here on our live podcast interview, but dronepilotgroundschool.com/instructor-application. So dronepilotgroundschool.com/instructor-application. We would love to see your applications come through. There are certain cities that we're looking to expand to. If you go to our main flight training page on our site, you'll see where we don't have coverage. So right. if you live in one of those cities, the chances of us looking at your application first are probably going to be a little bit higher, but we do get back to everybody. So we're at dronepilotgroundschool.com. We're also at uavcoach.com. Operating two different websites was a decision that I still struggle with. It would be great to have everything under one roof, but we've got kind of the email list and the industry news and the flight training over at uavcoach.com. And then the Part 107 test prep is the Drone Pilot Ground School.
Alan Perlman, thank you so much for being on the show today. This has been really a great show. And I think that the whole pilot training market and demand is going to dramatically increase over the next few years as these Part 107 pilots really try and hone their skills, get up to speed, and become even more expert in the things that they are offering to their customers. Until next time, fly safe. This is Enrico Schaefer signing off.
You've been listening to Drone Law Pro Radio. Visit us at dronelaw.pro. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on most podcast listening platforms, including your home devices, by searching Drone Law Pro. Don't forget to share this podcast on your social media and with your Part 107 friends. Until next time, fly safe.